I want to pray as we jump into the message for today. So here we go. Father, thank you so much for an opportunity to share your word. So blessed to be able to be a part of an amazing congregation of believers who want to lean into your word and hear what it is you're saying to their hearts. And God, I'm praying that today would be one of those days where our ears would be tuned in and our hearts would be receptive to what it is you have in store for us, that you would be glorified, you would be lifted up, and you would be praised. Today would be a day we'd enter into something new we didn't know was available to us, and that you'd be exalted and lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. So you probably saw in the notes, new season, now what? Well, last week, Pastor Doug shared an amazing message on facing your giants. How many of you were here for that? Okay, and I know we had several online as well. And as I listened to the message, this thought occurred to me. If you're going to defeat the giants that you face, you're going to have to pay attention to, make the best of, and learn from each season that you're in. And we all face seasons. Now, just going back again to this whole idea of facing your giants, think about David for just a minute, facing the season of the lion and what he learned from that, and then facing the season of the bear and what he learned from that, and then David facing the season of the ridicule of his oldest brother. Remember when he was getting ready to go figure out what was going on and why this uncircumcised Philistine was saying the things he said about the God of Israel and Israel as well. Think about David being confronted by his brother and says, "What in the world are you doing here? Where have you left those few sheep?" And David didn't let that put him off, and he went to Saul. And then there's David facing the season of the lack of confidence from King Saul. And remember the words from King Saul. He says, "This guy that's standing out there has been a warrior from his youth, and you are nothing but a youth." And David didn't let that put him off. And then I didn't put this in your notes, but I thought about David facing the season of the victory over Goliath as he simply just rehearsed what God had already done in his life and just repeated the process and took Goliath down. And that's how we take down our giants, is recognize how God's been God through all the seasons we've gone through so far, and all the giants that we face to this point. God is the one that sees us through. How about David facing the season of running for his life from Saul? You know, he's been anointed king, and then all of a sudden he's running for his life thinking, "I didn't sign up for this." Oh, yes, you did. When you said yes, you signed up. How about David facing the season of temptation and murder and all the things that brought about in his path? In all of these situations, in all of these giants, in all of these seasons, David knew who his God was. Yes. Think about that for just a minute. He knew who his God was. And you read through the Psalms, you see the heart of David comes out in the Psalms constantly as he continues to reiterate the fact that God is God. And guess what? So can we. So too we will and are facing situations, we're facing giants, and we're facing new seasons. And the thought is, well, now what? If you think about it, it's really hard to believe that summer is almost over. I mean, doesn't it seem like it just got started? We were planning for graduations and weddings and vacation plans and summer projects and anniversaries. And, you know, there's been some births and there's been some deaths along the way. And it's just like this summer just seems to be speeding by, and summer's winding down toward the fall and the new school year. And speaking of that, let me just make a quick announcement here, and I'll say it again at the end. This Wednesday, we're going to take some time to pray for our teachers, our administrators, our students, our school systems. On Wednesday at 6:30, come out midweek prayer. It'll be a one-hour time get together, and we do have childcare. It'll be a time of worship and prayer, and we're just going to pray that God will have his way through all of our students and our teachers and et cetera. So, amen. Now, with every new season that comes and goes, we eventually get to the place like David. And I have lived through enough seasons to know that this scripture that I'm going to read to you is absolutely true. Psalm 37, 25 says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I know I've gotten to the place where I'm okay with that because I found out getting old beats getting dead, so I'll just stay with old. It says, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. I have been young, and for you young ones, guess what? You'll get there, and you will recognize exactly what I'm saying is that God is faithful. So let me ask this. I mean, what signifies a season? I mean, what's the definition of that? As I looked it up in the American Dictionary of the English Language by Noah Webster, 1828, here's what he said. He said, literally signifies that which comes or arrives, and in the general sense, is synonymous with time. Season, the primary sense that, like that of time and opportunity, to arrive, and this word seems to be allied to seize and to assess. Now think about that, to seize the season, to assess the season, to fall into season. Now, one of the four divisions that we're aware of here in our hemisphere is spring, summer, autumn, winter, and there are some distinctions there. So to be in season would be to in good time or sufficiently early for the purpose, whatever that season has. To be out of season would be too late, beyond the proper time or beyond the usually appointed time. Now, some of you have heard me mention this in the past, but Cheryl and I continue to attempt to every night read, although she's in Punta Cana, so she's enjoying vacation there. Not that I'm upset about that. But we read through this book, The Book of Mysteries by Jonathan Cahn. And it was interesting because as I was formulating the thoughts around this message about new season, now what, it turns out that on day 297, that I find the following. Now, if you've not read the book or you're not familiar with it, it's the narrator is a student who is being taught by a teacher out in a desert arena, and every day is a new lesson, and this is day 297 in his journey. Again, the student is the one narrating, and it's called The Seasons of the Harvest. And here's, it's a little bit of a lengthy reading, so bear with me, but here's what it says. We were sitting under an olive tree inside of one of the school's gardens. The teacher bent down, picked up one of the olives that had fallen to the ground, and held it in his hand. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few, he said. That's what Messiah told his disciples about the harvest of salvation, a harvest that every child of God must reap. On what harvest was he basing this? The harvest of Israel, I would guess. That's correct. But the harvest of Israel was not only one, but many. Its harvest was made up of many harvests. First came the barley harvest in the spring, then the wheat harvest, then the fruit harvest, the fig harvest, the date harvest, the pomegranate harvest, the olive harvest, the grape harvest into the autumn. Every harvest had a season. And if you didn't reap the harvest in the appointed time of that harvest, you missed your one chance. He let the olive fall to the ground. And so, too, it is with the harvest of salvation. It is not only one, but many. The harvest of salvation is many harvests, and every harvest has its appointed season and time. If you don't reap the harvest in its appointed time, its season will pass, and the time and chance you had to reap it will be gone. What harvests? Well, there's the harvest of your loved ones. You have only a limited time to share with them of God's love, and if you don't reap, the season will pass. The harvest of your friends, the harvest of those in other lands who need to hear the word of salvation, the harvest of acquaintances, and those you will only see for a short time. To each person in your life, there is a specific time and season. They won't always be in your life, and you won't always be in theirs. Every season passes. People will pass in and out of your life. It's true, isn't it? We see them come and go. And then from this world, and the season is over. And then you yourself will pass from this world. And whatever you didn't reap will be forever gone. So make the most of your time in this world. Lift up your eyes and see the fields that are all around you. Don't miss the harvest given to you or the appointed time in which to reap them. Don't wait to give the word of salvation to those who need to hear it. Don't delay in showing your love or to forgive or to ask to be forgiven. Don't wait to bear the fruit of your life was called to bear. Every season must pass, and only that which is reaped in its season will remain forever, and these are the seasons of your harvest. And at the bottom, there's always your mission or the mission. Today is the day of the harvest. Share the good news. Show your love. Forgive. Bless. Don't wait. The time of your harvest is only now. And what's interesting, as we read that, and again, I was formulating this idea of the new season, now what, one of the key scriptures I had in my mind is in the bottom of this, and it's out of Ecclesiastes. And I've been thinking about this message since June 2nd, so it gives you an idea how long it's been ruminating. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, here, watch this, it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Now, notice it doesn't say some things, but it says everything. In the New American Standard, it says it this way. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. And then in the Amplified, it says, to everything there is a season and a time for every matter or purpose under heaven. So what's interesting, as you think about, we're going to dive in shortly into Ecclesiastes chapter 3, is some of you have been around long enough, you may remember the song, turn, 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 there is, never mind. I'm not going to sing it. That's why I'm not up on the worship team. That was written by Pete Seeger, and it was recorded by the rock band Birds in 1965. So those of us who were singing it have dated ourselves. And yet what's interesting is during that period of time when that song came out, there may have been some that were singing that had no idea it was from the Bible and then found out it was from the Bible and then looked in the Bible, and it could be potentially what eventually led to the season of the Jesus Revolution. Because all of a sudden they're reading this in the scripture and go to everything. What else is in this book that I've been afraid to touch? So even though it may have been a secular band singing it, think of how God got his way, and he got his word out there. That's pretty cool, I'd say. So, new season. Now, remembering and reminding ourselves a time for every purpose, I want us to look at these scriptures we're going to read from the angle of purpose, that everything has purpose. Now, how many of you know that sometimes we don't always get it when God does something, right? I mean, God will do something, we're like, huh? And I found myself being that piece of clay on the potter's wheel and going, God, are you sure? And God looking at me going, I'm God. Now, I don't know if you know this, but God's been God a long time, and he's good at it. And so I've learned to just trust him. So I'm not going to be that piece of clay that you know, I used to work in clay, not as good as Cameron did, but at all, but I just remember that the ceramics teacher would say this little piece of wood with a pointy thing on the end was to dig in and pull out that hard piece of clay that somehow got in there, and I just picture myself going, God, get that thing away from me, you know, as he's trying to dig out that thing that he's been trying to dig out, and we're fighting against it. I know you know what I'm saying, because some of you are going, yes, and others are going, ouch. Verse 2, are you ready? A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Now, that tosses us into many emotions, doesn't it? We're like, oh, elated, there's been a birth. But we get tempered by, now there's been a death. We have an argument, and it tends to bring us into an emotional state of what's going on. And the longer I serve God, the more I've become aware of the significance of the seasons of life and how they change and how much I need God's wisdom to know when and how to move from one season to the next. And every single one of us in this room, whether you'll own it or not, you're in a season. And you may be confused about it. You may be elated about it. You may be excited about it. You may be terrified by it. Who knows? But you're in a season. And so my goal this morning is to get us to understand how we can walk through these seasons, come out the other end looking better than when we went in. And I remember, and I'm reminded of the following story, and it's titled, When Life is Difficult. He was arrested for preaching the gospel. His wife died, leaving him with four children, one of whom was blind. Yet he refused to give up telling people the good news about Jesus. John Bunyan. Any of you ever heard of John Bunyan? He wrote his greatest work in a prison cell. It has been a source of spiritual inspiration and help to countless readers, translated into over 200 languages. It has never been out of print since the day it was first published in 1678. If you haven't read it, get it. You'll find it. It's been published. Pilgrim's Progress is an allegory which tells the story of a person called Christian on a journey from his hometown to the celestial city. And on the way, he faces many difficulties, challenges, and obstacles, yet he perseveres faithfully to the very end. Now, here's what's interesting. During John Bunyan's season of hardship, the chaos squeezed out one of the most significant writings that has impacted people's lives for over 348 years. I'd say he made the most of a bad season. Wouldn't you? And so my question to us, all of us today, is what will the season that we're going through squeeze out of us? What will it squeeze out of us? Will it squeeze out a testimony of God's faithfulness? And what season are you working through right now? See, seasons come and seasons go. Seasons can at times overlap. Seasons can have difficulties, challenges, and obstacles. Seasons can have laughter and joy. Seasons can start off stormy and end with a whisper. Seasons can start off with a whisper and end in a crescendo. Seasons can be unpredictable and chaotic. Seasons can offer us learning opportunities if we're open. And here's one, thinking about seasons can sour us and embitter us to the things of God. And I think of people who have got into a season that they didn't know what to do with it, and they didn't know how to connect with God in the midst of it. And they said, well, if there's a God, why am I going through this? And turned and walked away in that season. They got bitter in a season where God was trying to teach them something. And I would say, as a word of caution and warning, if you're in that type of season, don't give up on God. Are you hearing me? God will see you through it. You just got to continue to move forward. You say, well, Dan, I've fallen down. Get back up. You say, well, I failed. Fail forward and learn from it. Get up, dust yourself off, and learn from it, and recognize God is in that season to bring you through it so you'll have a testimony on the other side of it so that when you run into someone else who's going through that season you just came out of, you'll be able to say, guess what? I can help you in that season because God is faithful. Seasons can change us to be more like Christ if we learn to hear what God is saying to us. And he is talking all the time. We just have to be open to hear what he's saying. Maintain an awareness of God no matter the season you are in. Lean into it. God, I don't understand it. I feel like you're playing hide and go seek and I'm ollie ollie oxen free. God, where are you? And then all of a sudden, God comes through, right? He comes, and I don't always get it. He comes at the strangest moments, and it comes from sometimes the strangest places. I'm waiting for that, whatever that is, and all of a sudden, someone says a word, and it's like, oh, thank you. Thank you. So where do we go from here? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. I love this scripture. Look at it. It says, he has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. And as I think about that scripture, think of how many people you've run into in your life who say, I absolutely do not believe there is God. And I'm saying you are absolutely not telling the truth. Because scripture tells me in their heart has been placed eternity. So that witnesses against the lies they're telling about the God who they think does not exist. And guess what? Those of you who have said yes to Jesus, those of you who are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, those of you who have allowed the testimony of God to live in you are a living testament to the fact there is a God. And he does all things well, and I don't always get it, but that's okay. I'm just going to trust him anyhow because he always brings me through. I've been in situations, felt like I was painted in a corner, had no idea how God was going to get me through it. And I realized that if I turned around, the corner opened, and there I was. He got me out of it. I don't get it. I don't understand it, but he's God, and he loves me, and he loves us. Now, here's an interesting statement that I found. It says, the wisdom within Ecclesiastes forces us to look in the mirror and truly analyze our motives for the things we pursue in life, whether that be careers, pleasure, wealth, etc. Solomon warns us that the pursuit of such things is like striving after wind, meaning that they are fleeting and fruitless. Why is that? Because God has put eternity in our hearts and nothing less, watch this, nothing less than eternal satisfaction in the hands of the Lord will ever be enough. Eternity in our heart is what draws us into a relationship with the God who created us. The Creator is the only one that fits inside of you. Everything else does not measure up. We've tried it. Solomon tried it. You read through Ecclesiastes. He tried everything, and he always came to the conclusion he needed God and that life was a gift from God, but we had to come into God to recognize how good God is. Amen? Amen. Now, here's an interesting statement. It's author and Bible teacher Jackie Hill Perry recently used a caption on her Instagram that said, watch this, if everything good exists because of God, then there is nothing that exists that is better than God. Okay, I'll read it again. If everything good exists because of God, then there is nothing that exists that is better than God. And so if you're trying to find good aside from God, you may get good, but it will never measure up to how good God is. And that was free. So, God is always at work in every season, And so, new season, now what? Number one, here we go. Now what? What do we do? Number one, we pray. Well, that just sounds simple. Well, then follow through. I've gone to meddling. It says, pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Pray without ceasing. So I pray before, I pray during, I pray after. I just pray throughout every season I'm in. Just pray. God, I don't know what you're doing. Okay, I now get it. Help me to align with what you're trying to get accomplished in me and through me. Because, Father, I want to be able to have a harvest beyond myself. Number two, ponder. Ponder. Proverbs 4:26 says, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. And the only way that happens is when I continually submit myself to the Lord. What's it say in Matthew 6:31-33? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Seek first. Seek, not last. Not, oh, when I get around to it. We got to come up with some around to its and hand them out. So everybody has one. So I ponder the path. What did God say during this season? What adjustments do I need to make and remain thankful throughout? About 10 years ago, our founding pastor, Doug, had shared a message, and you've heard me say this before, but it bears repeating. And he asked us to take some time to be thankful. Each day, find something to be thankful for. And I have found, after 10 years of continuing to do that, it's become habit, I just find something in the day to be thankful for. And so sometimes I wake up and I'm just thankful for the gift of today, the gift of a new day, the gift of an opportunity to let him shine through me, just being thankful for the gift of the breath, the gift of the next heartbeat, the gift of the able to see. And now that I have ears, finally, I have the gift of hearing. And I didn't realize how loud my wife was shouting at me. Prepare, number three, prepare. In 1 Peter 1:13, it says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, so what do I need to let go of? In your season, what have you dragged into the season that God says you're not to take out of the season? You're to leave it there. What do I need to hold on to? What did God reveal to me in that season that I need to take into the next season? And what do I need to add? What needs to be added to my life? Maybe it's just you need to get up early in the morning and seek the Lord and get into the Word of God. I don't know. I would say that's a good one, because I found that when I get into the Word, I begin to see things from God's perspective, and the seasons that I go through all they seem to take on better color, if I could put it that way. They're technicolor, because it becomes clearer what God's saying and what God's trying to get through to me in that particular season. The last but not least, pursue. So then, in Romans 14:19, So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. What's that? Just be committed to having God awareness in each season, whether I feel him or not, he is with me. And sometimes you just need to remind yourself, right? That God is with me. God is here. I may not feel him. I may not have the tingly stuff going on, but God is still with me. He has not abandoned me. Follow through and lean into the new season. And last but not least, repeat steps 1-4. Pray, ponder, prepare, pursue. Pray, ponder, prepare, pursue. And watch what God does. You'll begin to get more out of each season of your life because you're seeing it from God's perspective, and you're going to have a testimony because of the tests that you went through and you just leaned into God. And I want to close with this. And some of you who've read through, how many of you have read through Bible Recap, or you're doing Bible? Okay, yeah, some of you are doing Bible Recap, and you know there's a 5-part prayer at the very bottom. And so I took license to grab it and changed it slightly for us this morning. And it's in your notes. I'd recommend you take it with you, put it in your Bible, and read through this. God, give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in each season. Let any knowledge I gain help me love you and others more and not puff me up in each season. Help me see something new about you that I've never seen before in each season. Correct any lies I believe about you or anything I misunderstand in each season. Last but not least, direct my steps according to your word in each season. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. God is good, isn't he? And so with that in mind, if we could just have the saints, I just want you to just be praying because there's some lives on the balance this morning. You're here this morning and maybe you served God at one time and you just kind of got discouraged and you walked away and you're here this morning. You're saying, I'm just going to give it one more shot. Well, I'm glad you're here. Or maybe you've never said yes to Jesus. You were invited by a friend. And let me just say this right off the bat. When you say yes to Jesus, you've not accepted a religion. You've gotten a hold of a relationship with the God who is. Amen? And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to just ask very simply, if there are those here this morning and you say, I just want Jesus in my life. I want to come back to Jesus all over the house. Are there any? Just lift your hand up and put it down. Okay, good. Any others? You say, that's me. Any others? Good. Good. There's another. Thank you. Thank you. Any others? You'd say, I want Jesus in my life. That's awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Okay, and we're going to also, for those of you online, if you just message us and say, hey, you know, I'm going to pray this prayer. So we're going to pray a very simple prayer. And we pray this as a family. It's not a formula. It's a prayer where we're just going to simply ask the Lord to come into our lives. So let's pray this together. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning in need of a Savior. So Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all my wrongs and come into my life. Set me free from the things that I've been addicted to in the name of Jesus. And I will serve you from this day forward. I will lift up your name because you are good. I now trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God a hand. God is good. I'm going to have the prayer team come forward. And if you're in one of those seasons that you just need prayer, you need healing, any number of things, don't hesitate. We got some incredible prayer warriors up here that will pray for you and believe God with you. So thank you, prayer team. We're going to worship for just a minute.